you know, before I dive in, just two quick comments. One, reflecting on now 25 years in the industry, starting with Bob back in Brooklyn Union. And then secondly, just on the last 3 months coming out of a very tough winter, I think the 25-year view would be whatever we do needs to be framed with the three we call trilemma questions: the reliability of the system, the affordability of the system, and now finally the discussion around the sustainability of the system. And that's why I'm really delighted to be here. The last 3 months view, if you're a utility executive these days, you're also the weatherman. You know, just in the last 18 months, we've had hurricanes, floods, earthquakes. I think the only thing we haven't had yet is the killer bees, and they're hopefully not coming. But this winter started for us on December 22nd with a very, very serious ice storm right here. Hit the North Country, hit the western part of our business, and 150,000 customers were out. Regardless of how long it should have taken us to restore the power, we knew we had a window of 2 days, because as you all know, December 25th is Christmas, and we're very pleased to be able to get the power restored. That was the start of the polar vortex. I have to be honest, I've never heard that term until this winter. Our coldest winter ever, you know, across our business, unfortunately resulted in very high commodity prices to our customers, something we take very, very seriously and we're trying to mitigate. And then sadly, the winter ended with a tragedy in Harlem, another utility, and our hearts go out to those customers. You know, very, very serious incident in the gas industry. And I would like to just start with a safety moment, as we always do at National Grid. This is Dig Safe Month. So anyone who's doing any work around gas utilities, please call us. The number's 811, it's very simple. And we make sure we mark it out properly and we keep our infrastructure safe. And from an environmental standpoint, we lose a lot more gas to the environment when someone hits our line than we do with the leaking pipes. So we need to fix the leaking pipes for sure, and we're on that. That's job one. But we get hit every day. We have a strike on our system, and we lose far more gas that way. And I would just ask you to spread the word. You know, this is Dig Safe Month. Let's keep our system safe and environmentally sound. So let me dive in, and I'll, you know, try to keep it punchy and move through it very quickly. Really want to talk about what we call Connect 21, which is our vision for utility of the future, and then try to bring it to life with some real examples of things that are happening here in New York and things we're doing throughout our business. You know, advantage we have is National Grid is a very large international company. We serve over 19 million customers here in the U.S. and the United Kingdom. Most of my experience is in the U.S., but did have a chance to work for a few years in the United Kingdom, where we're installing and connecting massive amounts of wind, both onshore and now more and more offshore, so certainly could talk about that. But we're also a very, very local business. You know, upstate New York, you see that massive territory. We are the former Niagara Mohawk Company. If you squint at the bottom, that little orange piece, that's, of course, New York City. That's the largest gas business in the country, the old Brooklyn Union Gas Company. And then on Long Island, it gets more complex, and I could certainly talk about that. We are the gas company now on Long Island. A lot of numbers on the page. I'll just highlight one. We're investing $1 billion per year in the energy infrastructure. That's double what it was just 5 years ago. And hopefully when I get invited back in the future, we'll double that again. And we need to constantly invest in our system simply to modernize it, to make it ready for all of the things that we're speaking about today. So what's the challenge? You know, I think in fairness, a lot of people say, well, you have the same pipes and same wires from 100 years ago. That is true, but it's really a credit and a testament to those who came before us. Many folks thought the electric grid was the discovery or invention of the 20th century, you know, award-winning 100 years ago. Unfortunately, we're now 14 years into the new century, and we're not yet winning those same awards. And that's the challenge. You know, the system was built for the needs of customers 100 years ago. And if you think about it, you know, clearly we didn't know cell phones or iPads or all the technological inventions we've benefited from. But the more basic premise was the system was built to take the power from our source, the central station, and get it out to the customers. A lot of what we're talking about today is reversing that flow, and unfortunately, our system is not completely ready for that yet, and that's where the investments are required, and that's where the focus is. So what's the opportunity? You know, we believe it starts first and foremost with the resilient energy backbone. Right now, we have a lot of distributed generation. We have a lot of renewables connected to our system, but they're not truly integrated within our system. We can't manage those assets like we can our own assets. And that's where our investment will be focused on in the years to come, to make sure that not only connecting wind and solar and hydro, we're actually integrated into the decisions we make every day to lower our customers' usage and, again, to create sustainability. Clearly, climate change. Clearly, climate change is a major part of that. We need to make our storms, our systems harder, more resilient to storms, to better insulate and protect our customers. Not having power is not negotiable. The U.S. reliability is over 99.9%. It doesn't feel that way at times when you read newspapers. 99.9% plus. If you're a customer of ours, the promise is that on average you'll lose power less than once per year, outside of major storms, less than once per year. And even if you do lose power, within 2 hours, it will be restored. And you think about the vast territory we cover, 2 hours on a base of 7 or 8,000 hours per year, it's a pretty good record from a reliability standpoint, but it's not yet doing the things we need to for the future. So a lot of opportunities there. One is driving regulatory innovation. We can't leave it for the regulators. That's not fair. Utilities need to go to the regulators with ideas, with programs, with demonstrations to move the regulatory agenda forward. We need to embrace tech partners. We need to embrace tech partners. We'll never get there on our own. The days of having large R&D departments, large R&D budgets are long gone. We're very fortunate that we have NYSERDA here in New York. We've made great advancements through that partnership. We now need to find other partnerships. Yesterday I was with the Chancellor of Syracuse University. Early this week with the President of NYU. You'll hear some work we're doing with Clarkson. Those are the key partnerships, bringing in new players, new tech providers. And then finally, I think Bob alluded to it, put the customers in charge. Just like you all decide what book you want to read on your iPad and what movies you want to download, if you give customers choices, they will over and over make the right decisions around renewables, and they're willing to pay a premium if we can give them those types of choices. So how does it come to life for solar? I'm just going to highlight one focus, and that's the third point. Put the renewables where it makes the most sense. So the bad news is right now our system is not entirely ready for renewables. And the worst news, it will take us many years to get there. The good news is in many places today our system is entirely ready. And if we focus on putting the renewables in the right places now, give utilities time to invest in our system so that 5 years from now we'll have a lot more spots on the system that are ready. And 10 years, I assure you, we'll certainly have the bulk of our system ready to integrate renewables. And I'll just share with you two examples. The bad, we had a farm up in western New York, a very large project, 2 megawatts. The interconnection cost would have been $2.5 million, essentially ruined the economics of the project. Our customers would rather have that $2.5 million invested in better projects. Another one was a school, if you can imagine, without notifying National Grid try to install onto our system a solar array, clearly a public safety issue, but really not advancing anyone's agenda. Fortunately, very few of those examples and a lot of good examples. Some of you may be familiar with this. I know John and Kit joined me at Owens, a 2.2 megawatt installation. Look at the interconnection cost, only $46,000 compared to the $2.5 million. Why? It was on the right part of our system. You could see our 115 kV system was a perfect spot. They're lowering their energy footprint. They're lowering their bills. It was the right example. And the final one, a very large retailer, similar story, putting it on the backbone of our system really enables us to achieve the policy agenda. Let me just close with a call to action, and I'll share with you some real examples that we're doing throughout the territory. We can't wait for 10 years. We need to start now. If you look at National Grid just here in New York, and you run down that same map, we're doing it west, central, and east and upstate. We're doing it in New York City, of course. And then on Long Island, we have a very unique opportunity. Our customers are very energy efficient. We're spending all of those NYSERDA funds in making the homes and the equipment more and more efficient. We're also converting 9,000 customers a year from heavy emitting oils. We believe that's the equivalent of taking 100,000 cars off the road, and it saved those customers over $15 million in energy costs. So a very unique opportunity. But here in upstate New York, we have the Buffalo Medical Campus. We've partnered with them. We came up with a 5-year plan. We invested $12 million on the front end to make sure our system was ready. When they wanted to expand the parking lot, we worked together to install solar for the lighting. When they knew they had an increase in the number of vehicles, we worked together and put in 25 charging stations so they could bring in electric vehicles. It's an integrated plan. closer to home right here, one of the microgrids that Gary referenced in his remarks will be, we believe, at Clarkson. It's the perfect site. They have the load, they have the supply plans for wind and solar, and they have a partner in National Grid where we believe we can integrate them right into our system. So that will be, in our opinion, one of the first microgrids. And then in Brooklyn, you know, first of its kind, renewable gas project where we'll take the output from a waste treatment plant and re-inject it into our gas system. First one in the United States, and it's a good example of making your renewable investment where it makes sense. If you look at that site there, that's not the renewable gas plant. That's a $4 or $5 billion waste treatment plant that someone's already invested in. All we need to do is now top it up with a $15 million technology investment, you know, $15 million on top of $4 billion, allow us to scrub the waste, and we take the equivalent of 3,000 cars off the road. We're now going to go a step further. We brought in a food company. We're going to inject food waste to enrich the quality of the gas as we re-inject it into our pipeline. So again, the message is wherever you are, make decisions that are relevant to that region. And then outside of New York, lots of other good examples. We're bringing in some of that clean wind from the Midwest through our federal business. And I'll just walk you through two final examples. We have a smart grid pilot in Massachusetts, a place called Worcester. We're installing a smart meter on every one of our customers' homes, 15,000 customers, and we're upgrading our capability on our own system. And the goal is to really learn from that, and then we would share in the reduction in energy usage from our customers. We're not going to do that in New York, because I don't need to. I can learn from the pilot in Massachusetts, and then when I bring it to New York, I'll make sure we get it right, and it's the right technology for the future. And then finally is the United Kingdom. They have an agreement called RIIO. There are a lot of things we like about it. It's an 8-year framework that allows you to do long-term planning. What are the goals you want to achieve in 8 years? And the I and the I and the O stand for incentives, innovation, and outputs. It's really the same dialogue we're having today, is that you're having utilities like National Grid on the hook to bring in innovative partners, to encourage innovation on the system, allowing utilities to then share in the incentives, making it worth the utilities investment, and at the end of the day, holding utilities not accountable for their investment, but rather for the outputs. Which of society's objectives did they achieve, and did they outperform relative to those objectives? So in closing, you know, I think the next step, certainly from a utility standpoint, it's our job, it's my job to build a resilient backbone, and you have our commitment that we will make those investments. But at the same time, it's all the dialogue we're having today. It's creating the partnerships. It's driving the regulatory and financing innovation that you've heard from the earlier speakers. And it's really embracing technology partners, bringing them into our system so the customers at the end of the day have the choices they need. So with that, I will close and allow everyone to enjoy their recess. Thank you.